Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 348, recorded on January 13th, 2017. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you, Michael?
I'm good. I'm doing
awesome.
Well.
I feel like it's been forever.
It's been several weeks, I guess, but that's fine. We're back. In the meantime, I switched to Celsius on my phone and watch, so I don't know what the hell anything means anymore, but apparently it's 25 is a nice day.
Yes. So I remember, and this kind of dates me, when the United States had its half-hearted attempt to move to metric.
Uh-huh.
There were commercials. There were commercials on TV that gave you these fun little jingles to help you wrap your head around
okay.
metric. And for the one where they talked about Celsius, at the time they kept saying centigrade.
Right, that's fair.
The one line I remember out of the song is, "A summer day is 25, cold is -3."
Huh.
So that's how you knew the difference between summer and winter. If it's 25, it was summertime. If it was -3, it was wintertime.
I thought you were going to give me some math.
Because there's only two temperatures in centigrade. They added the rest for Celsius.
I'm okay with calling it centigrade. But Adam Christensen's also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Okay.
I don't have any retrograde Vegas disease.
Oh, good.
Neither do I. Well, I guess breathing in everyone's cigarette smoke.
Were you at the place? Were you there?
He was.
No. Well, no. I wasn't in Central Hall when the power went out. Dave Hamilton was, but I wasn't. I was over at the Sands, and it was great because we start getting these messages and words just going all through the expo hall area, and we're like, oh my god, the power's out at Central and all of South, which wasn't true. It's like one of the hallways connecting to the South Hall was out.
That's cool.
And it eventually devolved to where, you know, the stories just kind of went crazy. So they devolved to the point where it's like, okay, I'm expecting at any minute now to get an alert from someone saying Central Hall is Lord of the Flies.
Wouldn't it just not, like, because there's so many people there with, like, cell phones and tablets and stuff, could you even tell?
Yeah, that's
wouldn't
true.
That just light up, like, it's like when you pull out of a brightly lit parking lot at night while you're driving, and then you're driving down the street, which is also brightly lit, and you don't realize that your headlights aren't on.
Oh, right. Yeah. I'm sure it was very similar to that.
Like everybody just held up their phone and it was like, all right, we're cool.
Yep. So Apple did a funny thing the other day on
Thursday. Oh, I like funny things.
On Thursday, they did a funny thing that I wish I knew about earlier. Because they allowed downgrades all the way to iOS 6 for several hours somehow, which was...
So what, they reprovisioned everything?
They were signing. They were signing all of those versions, yeah. So they had an oopsie.
Was it an oopsie, or were they doing something because of the latest hacking stuff?
I think
may need to go back and patch... Like, were they trying to, like, do something to patch older versions of the OS?
No, it was a legit oopsie.
Oh.
I mean, it started late Wednesday when they stopped signing all iOS versions for certain devices like the iPhone 4S, the iPad, iPod Touch models, which I believe also qualifies as an oopsie. And then when they went to fix it, they fixed it real good to the point where you could get just everything.
Hmm.
Which, some people, honestly, if I had known about this and acted in time, I would have downgraded a friend's iPad mini because it's basically garbage right now.
Hmm.
Which I think we've talked about before. Whatever the latest version of the operating system it takes, it kind of makes it a frisbee.
Well, it's either, depending on how old it is, it's got to be either 10.3.3, which was the last version of 10, right? And then there's 11.
Not sure.
Whatever we're up to.
Not sure.
I think 10.3.3 was the last version of 10.
iPad mini.
And then I don't remember with 9. So it's not an iPad mini 1, is it?
It is an original, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So 9.3.5. Yeah, the iPad mini is notoriously garbage once you update that far. The original.
Yeah, my kids just stopped using theirs. They use their iPhones now.
It's a nice coaster.
You can use it as like a cheese serving tray at parties.
I like that.
Well, yeah. And it starts to not be able to run apps either. Like, you know, like newer apps or even updated apps.
This is a total, that's that old. Horrible garbage thing that some developers do. So Apple actually has a legitimate way for developers to leave versions of their apps that still work in older operating systems. You just leave it there.
Evernote.
You leave it there, and Apple will automatically download the latest one that works with the operating system. But certain developers just, I don't know. I think there are certain reasons, like there are some legitimate reasons, such as like APIs being deprecated and that sort of thing. That makes sense.
Right.
But yeah, in other cases, it's dumb. Anyway.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Well, no, I'll give you an example where it's dumb too, because like I had a friend, he runs a small business. And he's like, hey, do you have any iPad minis? Because I have this new point of sale system that can tie into my waiting room system. And I want to have a couple iPads out there so people can like check in while they're waiting and do their stuff. And he's like, I only have two requirements. I have the app that is this point of sale software that he uses, which that was supported in iOS 9. And then he needed Evernote. And Evernote doesn't support iOS 9 anymore. So it was like, well, you know, yeah, because I was going to be like, you can have these, or I'll give them to you for really cheap. And when we went to check, he couldn't get them. So, you know, there's uses for that old tech, and that's where it sucks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of stuff that doesn't support current operating or doesn't support iOS 9, I noticed the update for the IFT app that came out a couple of days ago says this update is the last one with iOS 9 support.
Yeah.
So iOS 9 people are about to lose IFT as well.
Well,
in a lot of ways, it's not anything new. Like, we've had this with computers like for forever. You know, I still to this day get Mac people that are like, why can't I run Office 2004? I've been perfectly happy with that. You know, so.
Well, you don't have to, you just don't update your operating system. But
I guess it's kind of an opposite problem, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But they want to be able to run the latest version of operating. So it's the opposite of a little bit of the opposite of what we're talking about, but very similar, right?
I mean, there are certain. Let's not go down this rabbit hole.
Let's not degrade. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Moving on.
There's a really cool article on Medium. So so it's the girl who helped to create all the original Apple emoji. So she helped make a couple hundred emojis, right? Did you guys check this article out?
I didn't read it, but I saw it. Yeah,
I didn't check out any articles all week.
So yeah, really? Good for you.
I know, total shock.
So she was an intern back in 2008 at Apple, and she, with her mentor, created over 500 emoji characters, and they were the first ones available on the iPhone. And it's a really cool story, which honestly, just read it. It's included in the show notes, but you know, she talks about how she learned how to create Apple quality, icons. Her first one was the ring emoji. And, you know, it's pretty interesting, especially I think that they have the patents on the emojis, and you know, of course, emojis have become this like insane thing. And a lot of people forget that Apple created the understanding, like what each one of these emojis actually look like. So there are Android emojis, but Apple was kind of the first to really popularize these looks. What do you mean, what?
Really?
You didn't know that?
Well, emoji was around a long time before Apple implemented it.
Right, but
in Japan and on other systems and stuff
correct,
like that.
But,
so,
but the kind of
bumble style emoji that Apple has, you mean that's what everyone copied?
Yes.
Okay. I'll buy that, but
no, I'm not saying that Apple invented emoji.
Okay. Just making sure. Or I thought you were implying that Apple set the design of emoji, because it's really, there's a standards group, right, that defines what the emoji are, and then it's up to each person who implements them to come up with their own styles and designs, correct?
I believe
that's
so.
How it works.
Yeah,
yes.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
And that's why we had the hamburger condiment order debacle.
Right.
What?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you hear about that,
what
Michael?
What in the world are you talking about?
Was it Microsoft who had the and they, or Google, and they just fixed it because it was like messed up?
Yeah, Microsoft and Google, the order for stuff on their hamburger emoji. People were like flipping out. It's like, you don't put cheese on the bottom. And
the cheese was under the meat.
Oh. Yeah, and now keep in mind, I can't eat beef and I can't have dairy. And yet I knew the cheese went on top of the hamburger.
Right.
So if I knew that.
Got to melt on top of the meat. Yeah, but their emoji for some reason had the cheese under the beef patty. So it went bread, cheese, patty.
All right.
Yeah.
I guess that's wrong.
It made national news.
I like that it made national news. That's ridiculous. Okay, so let's get into, since we haven't been around for a while, let's briefly get into the iPhone battery situation. In case you haven't heard of it, because you've been, you only listen to this podcast, in which case I thank you. But, so it's very interesting. It kind of started with a Reddit user who discovered that when replacing his battery in his iPhone 6, maybe 6S, it improved the performance. He checked out his Geekbench scores, and as it turns out, the Geekbench people looked back in their records, and sure enough, when you update from 10.2 to 10.2.1, there were some slowdowns and inconsistencies in Geekbench scores, which led to the realization that Apple has implemented processor throttling for devices, for iPhone devices that have, I guess, less than stellar battery capacity. So for older batteries. And that is because they have, I think it's primarily due to an increased impedance, which means that if the processor is asking for, you know, some kind of peak performance situation and needing more current, the battery would not be able to provide that under certain situations, such as colder weather or depleted batteries, depleted battery capacities. And so Apple, and I should say that caused iPhones to unexpectedly shut down to protect the data on these phones. So this solved the unexpected shutdown problem, but as a side effect, it slows down phones over time if you have an old battery.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't mute. Thank you, Adam. What is this you're sending in drinks?
It's breaking emoji news that Jeff will be happy to hear.
All right, well,
yes,
we'll get to it.
And this breaking emoji news makes me very, very happy as I drink podcasting juice for medicinal purposes.
Okay, good. Freaking emoji change log. But yes, everybody freaked out about this. I don't think it's, I guess Apple is now facing over 26 lawsuits now for, quote, purposefully or secretly slowing down older iPhones to make people switch or to upgrade, rather. And, which is a
total bucket of crap.
It's a bucket of crap. Yeah, so this currently affects the, let me see here. Is it the iPhone?
It's the iPhone
6 and the 7 series.
Yeah, the 6 and the 7 series, exactly.
6 starting with iOS
10.2.1.
2.1, yes. And then 7 starting with 11.1?
11.2.
11.2, okay.
Yeah, so if your battery capacity is depleted... Actually, we're not entirely sure how they... decide to do this. We're assuming it's
looking like from the stuff that I've seen, the stuff I've read, and the data that I've seen, if your battery can hold no more than 80% of original capacity when it's fully charged,
right,
then that's the threshold where Apple starts the slower processor thing.
And that's
actually
the defined standard
processor.
And that, well, but that's also the defined standard by the battery industry. I forget the group that does lithium ion batteries, but it's basically that's the standard that's been sort of set to recognize when a lithium ion battery is past its useful lifespan.
Now it seems like
that's not Apple's standard.
It seems like it varies a little bit more than just, you know, okay, you're less than 80% capacity, you're just full on throttled and stuff sucks for you. It's more nuanced than that. So there are situations where, you know, if you're at full battery charge, your phone is probably going to operate closer to original speeds, but as you decrease in charge, it's probably going to slow down a little bit. And this is only during peak performance primarily.
Right.
So you're going to see
that was the thing that I was going to point out is it's my understanding, and I'm pretty sure this is the case, that this only kicks in when the phone goes into a peak performance mode, meaning that your CPU is maxing it. You're doing something where the CPU starts to max out.
Right.
And the GPU starts to max out. And then the throttling will kick in. So it's not like, oh, your battery's only at 80% full charge. We're fully throttling you all the time, which I think is a big area of confusion for a lot of people.
Yeah. So, right. And you're going
to
see
but it's not really throttling. And that's an important thing for people to know.
That's also true. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So what they're really doing is they're taking those processes that are demanding that current spike for the processor, and then they split those up into smaller chunks that run across multiple cycles. So the processor isn't being throttled. Nothing is being throttled. They're just taking something that would have happened faster and spreading it out over multiple cycles, which does have the net effect of making it appear as if the processor is slower, but only at certain times.
So I mean, the net effect to the end user is it's throttled. I mean, that's a little semantics, right? Because it's like, okay, they're not like clocking down the processor. The processor's still running at its full clock speed, but we spread out the tasks so that they take longer. Right. I mean, that's essentially what you're saying.
Yes, that's exactly it. Yes.
Yeah. So and the real world effect of that is what everybody has always noticed and complained about with older devices, especially after an OS upgrade, which is, oh, things are taking, you know, this app is suddenly taking longer to launch. Right. Or I launch it and I get a dead screen for longer than I have in the past and before the app sort of wakes up. I mean, that's the experience, the real world experience that I've heard most people talk and complain about.
Yes. Yep. That's what I've heard too.
So this may not even be related to, I would say it's definitely not related to all of those cases. But yeah, Apple caught a lot of flack for this. And as a result, they've lowered their out of warranty battery replacement fee to just $30, which is down from $80. So you can go in today and schedule an appointment and get your battery replaced.
You actually can't. They've delayed replacements because they don't have enough batteries
for the. Right.
So
6S,
when you schedule, what you're Plus. Doing is scheduling when you come back to actually get your battery.
Yeah, I
right.
Say
and it's out in.
Yeah.
I think it's pushed out to March.
Yeah, this is only
now.
For the Plus. This is for the Plus, the 6 Plus.
For the 8 Plus, yeah. Or the 7 Plus?
6 Plus. 6 Plus.
Six plus. Okay, yeah. So yeah, it depends on your model. But I mean, I fully expect this to start happening with probably every model. So you probably, if you want to get a battery replacement, I would say your best advice is to get in the queue now, get scheduled.
Yeah.
Because basically what they do is they'll schedule you, they'll order the battery, and then when your battery comes in, they'll say, hey, okay, come in. And I've heard, I've gotten reports from some of my audience that once the battery is in, the replacement is pretty quick and easy. You know, it's
right.
One guy, I think, has said it was done in like an hour or so, hour or less.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Now, I'd imagine it's probably less than an hour.
Yeah.
So there are a couple stipulations on that. So the first is you can actually request a battery swap for $30, even if your device passes the diagnostic. So we're assuming, again, this is, you know, if it has 80% or greater battery capacity, then it passes. But you can still get your battery replaced if you really want to, but you can only do that once for $30. Right. And that's to limit people from, you know, being dicks about it.
And seems reasonable.
It seems pretty reasonable. You know, I checked
once per device, I'm assuming, right? So those people have multi devices that fall in the range.
Yeah.
Are okay.
Yeah, I'd say so. So like even for me, my iPhone 7, I think I'm at, I don't know, like 93% capacity, and mine's almost 2 years old now, or, you know, something like that. It's fine. And I'm not even going to worry about it. I think I may get it replaced at the end of the year, I guess. Just
well,
cause.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I would say it's worth taking if you have any one of those models, especially toward the end of the year. You probably want to put a little tickler note in your, you know, like a reminder in your calendar. Say, and I wouldn't wait until December. I would say, you know, October, November. Hey, schedule an appointment. Get your Why not get your right. battery replaced? Because the price is going to go back up to $80 after the end of the year. So,
right.
You know, wherever you're at, you might as well get a fresh battery before the start of the year, especially if you're planning on keeping your phone.
Yeah. Now,
I don't know why you wouldn't.
The other interesting thing to point out here is that Apple has said that they are going to add more clarity in a future release of iOS into the battery. Pain that says
it should be coming out any time now, because they said it would be early January. Okay. I thought
this is where in all of this story, I think this is the biggest place that Apple screwed up, right?
Yeah,
is
obviously,
that
yeah, it's a PR.
The
issue.
Battery, all they had to do was notify someone, hey, you didn't even have to say we've had to slow down some of the processes on your phone because your battery is old and needs to be replaced. They should have just said, hey, your battery is not running, it is not at peak performance, therefore your phone's not at peak performance, or whatever it might be. We recommend, you know, replacing the battery. Just one alert message or something, a little message at the top of the battery, you know, or maybe the battery icon in the battery screen goes red and it just says, hey, your battery's bad, replace it. But you had none of that. There was no way for most people to know that they needed a new battery.
I have a hypothesis on this. Okay, so here we go. There is a notification that has been in iOS for quite a while. If your battery reaches a threshold where it just needs to be replaced, but it's like a really stupid thing. It's like if your battery can hold 30% of original capacity for charge, then you get this notification that your battery needs to be replaced, which is way too low. But what I think happened was the engineers, when they saw what the problem was and their bosses said, hey, come up with a fix for this, they came up with a fix for it. And in their minds, it was like, okay, we fixed the problem, check that one off, move to the next thing. And no one was thinking about what happens if users start aggregating all of their Geekbench scores and see that their processor seems to be running slower than it was before. I mean, they're just thinking, hey, we fixed a problem. People can keep using their phones.
Right.
Next issue. And just moved on. And when this exploded on Reddit, I think Apple was like, holy crap, what the hell just happened?
Yeah. But again, just, I mean, a lot of this could have been the whole original reason for them needing to implement this fix could have been much more minimized if people just knew they needed to get a battery replacement.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you had, I think there is a message that appears if you've reached this a certain condition, but you have to go all the way into settings, into your battery settings, and it's not even like there's no icon for it. I think there is a little text message that appears at the top of the battery screen that mentions that, oh, by the way, you might want to replace your battery.
Yes. Yes, you're right. It's not something the average person will ever even see.
Right. So one simple alert, one time when the system detects, you know, you don't have to annoy people. And I think that's the kind of thing that Apple's going to implement. My guess also is that the when you go into the battery settings, you'll actually be able to get at least a cycle count.
Yeah.
Measurement and probably also I'm going to guess they're going to implement a percentage measurement to say, okay, your battery is at 93% capacity or 90,
just,
you know,
like
you'll be able to watch
on
it
the Mac for years.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You can get that information on the Mac, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And Adam, you're totally right. What this comes down to is communication, which Apple totally sucks at.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the other thing that they're never going to do that I've heard people say, and I understand where this is coming from, is, yeah, it would be nice if Apple would let you sort of opt out of the slowing down thing and just say, okay, I'm perfectly okay with having my phone crash. Don't slow down my processor. But they're never going to give you that option.
No.
They shouldn't give you that option. That would be a really, really bad thing.
Well, power users are kind of like, I want to opt in for that. I'd rather have my phone running at peak performance, even with a bad battery. I don't like this idea.
Those are people that don't get what damage is going to happen to their phone over time.
Right, with it crashing.
And then they're going to complain about their phone crashing all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's better that Apple doesn't give the option. And I think it would be irresponsible if they did.
Yeah, I agree. I mentioned that Apple is now offering it for $29. iFixit is also offering their DIY kit for $29, which is
those kits are amazing too, because it's not just the battery.
It's not just the battery and the tape. It has all the tools necessary to do it.
They're losing money on this.
I think they might be. Yeah. Although the interesting thing though is, why would anybody buy this?
Well, it's for older devices that aren't covered by Apple's battery replacement,
I suppose. But yeah, so you
it's
can,
all of their kits. So
yeah.
If you have an iPhone 5 or a 5S or some older device and you want a new battery for it, you can get it at a great deal and get all the stuff you need to replace it.
Yeah, you can get an SE replacement for $20. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people with those phones out there. I actually just sold a 5 to someone. Which is actually a totally refurbished one. My daughter's screen started separating a week before we got new phones and trickled them down. So, and Apple just literally replaced the entire phone.
Nice.
So,
yeah. So you can get that from iFixit. That's cool. Let's see. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it for the replacement battery thing. Let's move on to, there's some rumblings of an iPhone SE 2. Which is great to hear about. So basically, we've heard just from TrendForce that they're predicting an iPhone SE 2 alongside the 2018 iPhone lineup. And there's a sketchy rumor from Text24 that it will have an A10 Fusion chip with 2 gigs of RAM and coming in 32 and 128 gigabyte storage capacities, which seems pretty reasonable.
Wouldn't you think they would go with just like one model and like a 32 or a 64?
What do you mean one model?
Why would you need two versions of an iPhone SE, I guess is my point.
I don't know that we would have. Why would we have two versions?
You have one price point, one model. It's your entry level. It's your entry level phone.
Oh, you're saying no change in the storage capacity. Just have it be a 64.
Is that what it is today?
No, it's a 30. I think it's 32 and 128.
Is still 32. I would say it should be the entry level should be just 164 model. Now, knowing Apple, it would be 132 model.
Sure.
Yeah, that sounds so Apple.
But I guess, you know, I guess it is also a form factor thing, so maybe it makes sense for it to have two. But it just seems like that model has seen so little love. It just seems like if I was the marketing person, I would say it's an entry level thing. We give people one option, one storage size. Just simplify it. You know, why complicate things? And I think 64 would be the ideal. It's probably if they had that storage size, it would be the one that most people would buy. I think actually, if you look at the other models in the lineup, 64 is probably the sweet spot right now for most people on phone storage.
Yeah, just I would guessing. Say for normal people, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. And that's what the SE is all about, right?
Yes.
So anyway, I don't know, but you were probably getting to the more sketchy part of the rumor.
Oh, that it's going to have a glass back for wireless charging.
Yeah, yeah. I don't see that. I don't see that. Again, I don't see that happening on the entry level device.
Yeah.
Like I think you reserve that as a more premium feature.
Yeah.
It'd be nice. I mean, I get where the thought process on that rumor is coming from, but there's no financial or marketing incentive, I don't think, for Apple to do that, because it just adds cost to a phone where they have a lower margin and they're going to want to maintain a high margin on that device if they continue it, right? So there's a question of, do they even continue the SE?
I think they will. I think it's been a very popular device. I know there are a lot of people who have the SE and they're very happy with it. I think it's
so. I think you upgrade the processor. You maybe go down to one storage size at 64, and you maintain the price point.
I mean, $350 is pretty great. $350 for a phone A10? Are you kidding me? That's awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. Okay.
I just don't expect huge. I don't expect huge design changes. Like they're going to go to a glass back and they're going to add wireless charging. Just don't see that.
I agree. That's just not happening.
Okay. So, let's talk about Spectre and Meltdown, because you have to, right? So it's this horrible thing. It's going to make all of our computers super slow and our iPhones super slow, and we're all affected and we're all screwed.
And right? Apple's updates that are out haven't had any noticeable impact on performance.
I mean, honestly, what I've heard is in some cases performance has improved.
Yeah.
So, again, if you were under a rock for the last week or so, it was not recently discovered, you know, discovered about 6 months ago, I think, by Google Project Zero and a couple other outfits. But basically, there are a couple issues. They're not even bugs, right? They're like design flaws in modern processors.
Yes. Yes.
So I need to find the Apple article on it. But basically, I have it right here. So the idea is there's this thing called speculative execution, where a processor it does certain things over and over again, and it can predict what a process may do down the pipeline. So it kind of primes the pipe by executing that thing before it's actually time to do it. And if it was right, it improves the efficiency of the process. If it was wrong, it just dumps it and keeps on going.
So you're saying it's kind of like Viagra for the processor, right?
Yes.
And if your processor
I think something might be happening later. Let me just make sure I'm prepared.
Oh my God. And yes, if your processor remains active for more than 4 hours, you should seek medical assistance. But call your friends first and take a picture to prove it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what Snapchat's for.
That's what I would do.
Uh-huh. Oh, I know. Please refrain from giving me that. You can pass it along to somebody else.
You know, Michael, now I kind of want to do that just so I can like hang a towel and take a picture and send it to you. Look what I can do. For 4 hours.
Can I go? Can I leave this?
Is your mom calling?
Can I leave?
Okay. Speculative, whatever you said.
Speculative execution. So, I'm not going to get super into the weeds on this one. So there's speculative execution allows, if you're very clever, you can basically sniff out certain. So if you know what memory address you want to find something at,
right,
you can look into that and watch it happen if you're very clever about grabbing it, because I guess part of this is security checks are not done as part of this process, so you can get
right, because it
was internal to the, it was supposed to be all internal to the, only available to the processor hardware itself, right? I mean, that was the idea.
So it's at the area where everything has to be unencrypted because the processor's working with it directly.
Right. Yes. But there's a flaw.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Right? This is where our story's going. You have to trust everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And what is the flaw?
There was somebody discovered a way to exploit that and to access that information, okay. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can inject other code in there that gets run, and even though it's not supposed to run, and when the processor realizes, oh yeah, that was I got that one wrong, I shouldn't have done that, it's and goes late. To roll back, well, it's already run the malicious code.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. So
and worse, in I forget which one, it can be executed from browsers, right? From JavaScript in a browser, which is bad.
I believe that's
I thought you had to install like a Trojan or something.
No,
before you could do that.
This can be done by JavaScript.
Yeah, in a browser.
Okay. Well, I spent a week at CES.
Which is why Apple rolled out a Safari patch this past week for everything.
Yes. So Spectre can be exploited in JavaScript, which is bananas. Yep. So Apple has already released patches for iOS devices and Macs. So in iOS 11.2, macOS 10.13.2, tvOS 11.2, Safari 11.02, 10.13.2, OS Sierra is covered. So,
and it was also important to note that a lot of the details about this in terms of actually how you did it was never released,
right? Yes.
And right. There's nobody known to be exploiting this stuff yet.
Well, there's nobody known, but the problem is it would be almost impossible to know that
right.
it happened, because that's kind of the whole idea, right? Is the CPU
right,
itself
right. But
doesn't
I mean, know. Just so people aren't freaking out, right? I mean, Intel was right on top of this. Apple was right on top of this. A lot of the, and where really this is a bigger problem and a huger concern, I actually got an email a note went out from Slack or somebody? You know, people who are doing stuff in the cloud.
Yes,
where
shared computing.
You've got, massive amounts of cloud servers and things like that. All of those things have to be updated, right? And so you're going to start to see a lot of scheduled downtime and scheduled outages, and Intel's working with a lot of the big players like Amazon and AWS, and like I can't even imagine what Amazon engineers are going through, or Dropbox, or think of any cloud storage company. This is a huge, or any company software cloud, this is a much bigger deal for them than I think end users.
Yeah. So we were expecting, so I think this is more of a meltdown situation, but the slowdowns that we were expecting to see kind of come from the idea that kernel memory and user land memory exist in approximately the same place, so that
right.
it's super fast. And in order to fix the problem, I assume they truly are moving kernel memory to discrete places.
They're slow. There is a slowdown, and even Intel has confirmed and said that things would run slower. But once again, for the average user, it's really not something that's probably going to be noticed on a day-to-day basis. But once again, for like massive data storage and cloud storage and software as a service companies, the net impact becomes the real problem, right? Because you expect X performance out of all the stuff that you've built and budgeted, and as an aggregate, that's going to go down by you know, a factor, and that affects your bottom line, which means you maybe have to add more equipment to pick up the slack and that sort of thing. So there is a actual real cost to those kinds of people. And I think that's, again, where the bigger concerns are.
Well, you know what? If your data center is run on an array of Apple Watches, you're good.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Because apparently that's the only thing, that's the only modern thing that isn't affected, is the Apple Watch.
Right, because at first the reports rolled out that this was just an Intel thing, and then we came back to find out, oh no, this is kind of almost every modern processor, including, you know, and it was all in different ways. I think there were slightly different ways, but it was all the underlying root thing is something everybody was sort of doing, right?
Yeah, so it's it affects Intel, AMD, and ARM. Later generation ARM processors. Yeah. So you know what? I'm honestly not.
Your iPhone and iPad is out already.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I was not surprised when I heard this. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Something like this had to come along. And you know what? I'm sure several smart people knew that this might be an issue. It was one of those things that they were like, you know what? It could be a thing. Like, if someone figured this out, it'd be bad news. But honestly, I think there are a lot of things like that. So
the bottom line, the most important bottom line for our audience is that, you know, it's the same typical stuff that you get told all the time for every kind of exploit or every kind of problem like this. It's like, maintain your patches, update your stuff, and you're generally going to be just fine.
Yeah.
Because there is a lot of FUD out there right now. I'm getting it from a lot of people. I'm getting emails from people like, is this something I need to worry about? I just had one today. Someone asked, do I need to upgrade to High Sierra to avoid this problem? And it's like, no, you don't. You need to patch Sierra or whatever version of the operating system you're on. Make sure you run your updates. But other than that, you should be fine.
Yeah, they're even El Capitan.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, get the Safari update that rolled out. If you see other updates come, just run your patches.
Speaking of
which, do your backups, run your patches. You're going
to
be fine.
Yeah, I don't think I've done that, actually. I think I have to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, all the updates that came out over the week, I was like, oh, sweet, I need... Oh, crap, I'm at a conference. This is a really bad time. So, yeah. I tell you what, Michael, after we're done recording the show, I'll run my updates. You run yours, too.
Cool, I guess. I'm still on Sierra. Are you still rocking Sierra? Are you up on the High Sierra?
I'm a High C kind of guy.
I can't
keep calm, patch, and carry on.
Yes. Okay. What else do we have here? Oh, some good stuff. So if you stuck around with us long enough, you're going to get a deal now. So Apple has started selling refurbished 10.5-inch iPad Pros. So you can get $100 off a 64-gig Wi-Fi iPad Pro, which is pretty good.
Nice. Okay, that's nice.
Yeah, so you know the refurb models, as we always say, those are really good things and often, you know, in better condition than potentially something that just came off the line, because they go over it with a velvet white glove to make sure everything's perfect.
Yeah, I tell people that all the time, you know, because that question will come up, is like, is a refurb really as good? Well, first of all, it carries exactly the same warranty out of the box as a new one. You can also add Apple Care Plus to it. It's like any other model if you're concerned about that sort of thing. And then like you said, Michael, on top of it, you have to recognize that each individual unit goes through a rebuild process. They go through it and it's individually tested and all that sort of stuff. And the ones coming out of the factory are not, you know, it's like they test them in little batches, but it's not each and every unit is, you know, meticulously checked for all its components and parts. You know, they're looking over the condition of the case, the bezels, the insides, how's the processor, how's the processor doing? Are connectors working? You know, so all of that stuff is really tested out.
Yep.
So
yeah, the way to really tell that you got a refurb instead of direct from factory version is that your box is brown instead of white.
Is it still brown?
The last one that I saw was still brown.
Yeah, the Apple. I can vouch for the Apple Watch that I got that was replaced is in a white box, but it's just a plain white box.
You know, you're not doing that box justice. It's so nice that I kept my box.
Oh, I have two of them now because I had two replacements, and they're amazing.
Good boxes.
It's an amazing box.
It's got a debossed. It's all white with a debossed. I think it's his Apple Watch and debossed on the front of it.
Embossed. Yeah, and it doesn't have room for a band inside because that's not what you're getting when they swap out your watch. But wow. Yeah.
So I would imagine a refurbished watch comes. I don't know what kind of box an actual refurbished Apple Watch with a strap comes in. To be honest, maybe it is a brown box. I wouldn't know. Maybe somebody in our audience knows. Does Apple Watch come in a brown box, refurbished?
I don't know. These are important questions, though.
Someone's going to let us know.
Someone. Okay, let's do some picks, guys.
Picks.
It's time for picks. And Adam, it's your turn to go first.
No. It's been a while, right?
It's been a while.
I'm trying to remember.
You should have something.
I'm going to pick something. I've probably picked someplace else.
All right.
But what it is, do you have one ready to go, Jeff? Because I have to think about it.
I
totally forgot.
I've got your back.
I know what I'm picking.
Okay.
I was going to ask Michael earlier. Michael.
Yes.
How did you check the battery cycles on your devices?
I used Coconut Battery on my Mac.
Ah, okay. So that is a really, really great tool, and you can do it with that. I also have a word of advice for people. If you're looking for a tool for iOS, there are a ton on the App Store, and they all will not work.
Yeah.
At least for telling you the information that you want to know. And the reason is that Apple with, I think it was iOS 10.2 something or other, removed the ability for third-party apps to actually get at that data, which is actually one of the complaints I think also levied against this whole latest battery thing. But the good news is there's great apps for the Mac. Coconut Battery is one of them. But if you have or already own or were considering getting a copy of iMazing is great for this. And, you know, I like iMazing for all kinds of things. But when I was looking into this, I'm like, I need something for my battery. And then I find out, oh, I actually have something. So connect your iPhone to your Mac with a USB to Lightning cable. And if you've ever done it with iMazing before, iMazing will recognize once you've connected once, you can do it this wirelessly. But the point is launch iMazing, select your device, and down in the lower right-hand corner, there's a little battery icon that shows how much, you know, your iPhone has been charged. And if you click on that, you get full battery statistics, including what the overall battery health is, you know, the total percentage that your battery will charge up to. And more importantly, you also get a number of charge cycles that you've run your battery through. And just as a reference, if you go to apple.com/batteries, I believe it is, Apple has all their information on batteries, and it'll tell you what the expected number of charge, like typical expected number of charge cycles for your devices or your Macs are. And for iPhones, it should be about 500 charge cycles. So you can kind of see, you know, oh, I've been through, you know, 178 at this point or whatever it might be for your device. And it can give you a good general idea of the overall battery health of your iOS battery. So iMazing.com. And full disclosure, they've been a sponsor. They're not currently a sponsor on my show, but they have been in the past. But doesn't matter. It's an awesome application. I use it for all sorts of things. And this is just another area that came up when this whole battery thing was going on that reminded me that iMazing is a really, really handy thing to have in your toolkit for your iOS devices.
I'm looking at the interface right now.
And it's beautiful, too. Yeah.
Do it. Yeah, this is great.
So,
wow.
Do you have to...
It's a really nice presentation.
Do you have to unlock the full version in order to do this? Or can you use the free?
I don't know. I have the full version, so I can't speak to that. You try it with the free version. If it works, great. Yeah, I don't know if that's a pro-only feature or not.
But iMazing does a lot of other stuff, too. You should throw that out real quick. What else it do?
So if you want to back up individual bits of data, like messages, or if you want to pull your voicemails off and store those off your phone, so you can get a lot of data off your phone and back it up individually. So rather than having to go through, like, you know, just doing a full backup, It will let you, it will actually let you go into your old backups. So if you've actually, I've had situations where I lost a bit of data or something, and I've been able to go into an older backup and recover that, because you can open up your backups and you can browse through them. You can get into individual app data. Another area where I've used it in the past is, you know, if you have one of these apps that is not storing data for whatever reason in the cloud, or you're having to go in and set your device up as new, which you have to do sometimes. You have those apps that only store the data locally. You can sometimes, not always, but sometimes use it to recover that data, like saved game data for games that aren't storing in the cloud or aren't syncing that data through iCloud. I mean, the list goes on
there's
and
a
on.
Lot
I
of stuff.
Forget because there's so.
So you get
having individual photos. You can use it in lieu of iTunes for doing your backups. And actually, one of the newest features that they added that people will really want, a lot of people really want, is you know how Apple removed the ability to manage your applications from iTunes on your Mac. iMazing will let you do that, and not only that, you can put in your credentials for your iTunes Store account, and you can download apps directly from the App Store on your Mac into iMazing, and then install them onto your phone.
That's
stuff that you've purchased,
really cool,
from your purchase library.
So you can do so there's a lot of stuff that you can do for free, and you can your battery diagnostics for
a lot of those features. I think are pro features, but I mean, it's $39. I mean, it's $40, and I guarantee you, you're going to get your value out of it, because it just, you will continue to find uses, like I did, like with the battery thing. It was like, oh, I already have a tool, great, I don't have to buy something else,
right? And like I was saying, the battery diagnostic part is free.
Yeah. Oh, it is in the free part. Okay, great. Cool.
Yep.
Cool.
Among many other useful things. And they give you like free tries of some of the other features. So, yeah, lots of cool stuff.
Is that the iMazing Mini or just the free version of iMazing?
iMazing.
Okay. Because there's also this thing called iMazing Mini that is also free that offers a few other features.
Huh. Okay.
Like scheduled backups and that does have the battery health tool in it as well. So if you want to just get the little mini version, which I think sits as a menu bar item, you can do it that way.
Okay, cool. All right, Jeff, what's your pick?
My pick is a book today. It's Artemis from the iBook Store. So it's Andy Weir's new book. This is the guy that wrote The Martian.
Oh, cool.
And I'm 2/3 of the way through it, and I'm reading it on my iPad. And it's a really fun story, and it's not a sequel to The Martian at all. It's a new story, which presumably takes place in the same universe as The Martian, but it's a city on on our moon, Earth's moon, and the city's called Artemis, and you follow along through the eyes of a package courier that lives on the station, who gets wrapped up in the middle of this big conspiracy, and it's really cool. So it's a fun sci-fi story where the science is much more accurate than so many sci-fi books that I've read, and the characters are fun, and it's just a fun romp. So it's $13.99 on the iBook Store.
Cool.
And so 2/3 of the way through, so if anyone has finished it, don't give me spoilers.
I'm going to need to get that, I think. I do like Andy Weir. Okay. So my pick, I've been trying to figure out what I want to pick. And I think I'm going to go with Square Cash, because they added a new crazy feature. So if you don't know what Square Cash is, it's better than Venmo, because Venmo is dumb. Well, I don't like the whole like social aspect of Venmo. Like, why do I need that? And Square Cash, it's super simple. You open it up and there's just a giant thing where you type in how much money and if you're requesting it or paying it. It's free.
And you can do it with Siri, right?
I think you can. Yeah. I think you can. I think I've talked about it before. The reason I'm talking about it again is because I opened it today and I was like, it says cash and BTC up at the top. That's weird. What does that mean? Does that mean Bitcoin?
They do Bitcoin now?
It now do Bitcoin. Yeah.
Huh.
It does Bitcoin, which prompted me to think, should I buy some Bitcoin? Because now I have this power to just type a number in. Actually, it's not. I don't even have to type. I just drag a slider. I press buy and I drag a slider, and it's like, how much Bitcoin do you want to buy? And you can buy up to $10,000 in Bitcoin.
Holy crap!
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Not going to do that.
Don't put your retirement into Bitcoin, please.
Actually, as it turns out, you can slide up, and I just figured this out. You can slide up and type in an actual value.
Feel free to use Bitcoin to like send your friend some money, or maybe buy a sandwich. That's cool. Yeah, don't invest your life savings in Bitcoin, please.
But anyways, it's probably the best interface I've seen for doing this sort of thing, which is, again, it's bad for me because I like good interfaces where I can easily do things that may be bad ideas. But so it gives you, so on the interface,
I think you're safe putting 20, 30, 40 bucks into Bitcoin.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking that. Yeah.
Yeah. But you don't put any more money in than you can afford to lose.
Yeah. Right. There you go.
In case something goes wrong.
So check this
thing. Not that it will.
So you can buy and sell Bitcoin through the app. But it also has, you can see the current state of Bitcoin very easily. So it's kind of all inclusive in a thing that I already have.
Cool.
It gives you, you know, day, week, month, year, and you can drag along and see very specific things. It's really cool. And so Square Cash is free. It's a great way to send and receive money. I still have yet to use Apple Cash at all, for what it's worth.
Oh, I've used it. It's great. It's pretty freaking awesome.
Nobody has the right operating system to do it. People I know, they still have the freaking you know, weird character bug when they text me. So,
you can send me $10 or something if you want.
You can send me $10.
You just want to test it out.
I know. I'll send you some Dogecoin.
What's funny is you can send me $10, and then I can send you $10 right back, and then we're even.
And see who actually has more money at the end.
I wonder if I can send. Yeah, shut up. I wonder if I can send Bitcoin through this. No, I can't. It's just U.S. dollar. That'd be cool. But yeah, so get Square Cash. It's awesome. I use it all the time for like actual things too, in addition to now thinking about buying some crypto. So yeah, check it out. Square Cash, it's free. And with that, you can find all of our picks and the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show on iTunes, rate it, tell a friend about the show. You can send your feedback about the show to feedback@theiosshow.com. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen's at the Mattcast, mattcast.com. He's at Mattcast on Twitter. And thank you for being here again, Adam.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
It's good to be back. Jeff Gamet, he's at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, the TMO Daily Observations podcast, and he's at Jay Gamet on Twitter. Thank you for being here, Jeff.
It's always fun. I missed you, so I'm glad we're back to it.
Yeah. I am at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And with that, we'll see you next time on The iOS Show.
An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. And an internet. And an internet. How are we going to communicate this? We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right?